Hi and welcome to another episode of Outspoken. Today you're joined by journalists Amy, Sophie and Kate Tauber. Coming up on the episode, the deadly Instagrammable moment that's rocked the internet, the party trick that rekindled an A-lister's relationship, and the disturbing lengths one maths contestant has gone to for revenge. Thank you so much for joining us. Now, Sophie, we want to get started off the show by, I suppose, throwing you under the bus a bit, because Kate and I have been paying you out because you had a little acting experience thanks to our friend Ella.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't really call it acting. I'd call it more just standing in the background drinking a beer.
So, did you actually drink a beer?
Yes, I did.
Oh, what did Brandon think?
Oh, he knew it was all part of acting.
So for those who don't know, Soph's boyfriend doesn't drink beer and you haven't drunk for a number of years.
Yeah, it was a lager as well, so it was particularly awful to drink. But basically, our friend Ella, who's an absolute legend, she is a singer, and when she's back in Adelaide, she does a bit of part-time acting and some extra work. And she needed some people to help out for this ad for Cooper's Beer. And I didn't have too much on in the morning, so I thought, oh, that'd be a bit of fun. And yeah, basically, it was everything I expected it to be. We rocked up, and Ella and I were sitting on this couch next to this 40-year-old guy, and he told us how his manager had lined up the job for him and he was really upset when he heard it wasn't a speaking gig, but they assured him it was still a good role. And then, you know, we get in there and basically for an hour, the videographer guy is just trying to place us. And he places this guy literally as far out of shot as he can.
Did he look like someone who'd be a star or an extra?
An extra. And yeah, they kept referring to him as Old Tom because there were two Toms there. And I was like, oh, Old Tom, could you move slightly more out of frame? He was actually very lovely.
Do you remember when we used to work at that cafe? There was like a big Rachel and a little Rachel.
You never want to be the big one, do you?
Rise and shine.
Getting into our first topic, three people have died at an influencer's 29th birthday party in Moscow after an Instagrammable moment went wrong. The shocking incident has raised concern about the dangerous measures millennials are going to get noticed online. Amy, can you talk us through what unfolded?
Well, an influencer called Ekaterina, who's a Russian influencer, as you said, she was holding her 29th birthday and it seemed like it was just a typical influencer event. There was food and drinks and a lot of people were posting Insta stories at this event. And basically what's happened is her husband decided as a surprise that he would dump 25 kilos of dry ice into the pool because he wanted to create sort of, you know, that wistful sort of smoky effect. And so what sadly has happened is three people, including the husband who decided to put the dry ice in the pool, have died as a consequence due to carbon dioxide poisoning.
And also I think there were some chemical burns as well associated because a lot of the guests actually jumped into the pool which had the dry ice in it.
Well, there were reports that the influencer Ekaterina had actually died. She had to come out on her Instagram to report that no, she was all right. And she did this Insta story just before she found out her husband had actually been one of the dead.
Well, hang on. Was it at the party that she was doing the Instagram?
No, this was in intensive care.
Hang on. Well, how did she not know her husband had died?
Because he was also taken to intensive care as well. And obviously she was in a sectioned off area.
You think you'd check in about your husband before you're updating your social media followers that you're alive?
Well, that's the thing, the sort of disturbing thing with modern technology. Now, these events are just playing out online. So her followers could see the event, then they obviously heard on the news that something terrible had happened. And, you know, think about it, in Australia, this could have been like Shani Grimmon. Can you imagine if Shani Grimmon's loved ones had died? It would have been absolutely huge news.
Oh, it's so scary. One of the things that I found most contradictory was I think this influencer is famous for kind of giving natural health advice, and it's just weird that,
well, she's a former chemist.
Yeah. So wouldn't you think that you'd have knowledge about dry ice?
But that being said, like, I've been in a number of weddings where they've just put dry ice out on, you know, out on the dance floor. It seems like it's something that people use in a lot of events,
not to jump into though.
Yeah, but maybe people thought, I mean, to be honest, I've had dry ice put on a number of things to burn them off. I understand that it's incredibly cold. But I mean, if you're at a party and someone's like, oh, let's just put it in the water for an effect, you might think that these people who are holding the party have some sort of knowledge about it.
Well, there is a criminal investigation underway. I mean, what I first thought when I heard about this party was, who is the company that is providing this amount of dry ice? Surely they have some kind of duty of care to let people know that that is actually a dangerous use of the ice.
I saw a video of the ice being put into the pool. The two men were wearing head-to-toe protective gear.
Coronavirus gear.
Is
it kind of the case? I mean, we saw it kind of with the Kobe Bryant helicopter crash, when you kind of think, well, was there a bit of the element of the pilot not wanting to say no and flying in those dangerous conditions? Is it sort of like that this girl wanted it done, so it got done? Do you know what I mean?
Well, you would think if she has a background in pharmacy, that would be she would realize the consequences. So maybe she was just having fun at this party and not knowing what was going on.
I wonder if there was a case of people being intoxicated as well.
The thing is, she is very well known for doing science experiments on her YouTube. So she does them with her children. So I think that's kind of just what's so bizarre about it all. It sounds like a big experiment just gone terribly wrong.
Well, it says that party organizers were reportedly responsible for the stunt going wrong. So maybe she wasn't aware. Maybe this was some sort of surprise.
Well, what part went wrong? Was it the fact that they jumped in the pool, or were they poisoned by breathing it in?
Well, from looking at some of the Instagram stories, it looked like it was a very small, unventilated area. So I think it was that the ventilation wasn't great enough, because a lot of people were getting carbon dioxide poisoning. So I think it was the poor ventilation in the area.
Now, there's been so many differing reports about what's actually happened, and I've just watched the video on YouTube, which I'm actually shocked is, well, I probably shouldn't be shocked with the amount of influencers that were there. But what appears to have happened is there's just this singular pool in a room, and everyone's come in their little outfits, like their protective gear with their goggles on, and two men holding the 25 kilograms of dry ice have tipped it in the pool. So everyone's wearing their protective gear. It's pretty evident that you're not meant to go in the pool. And then you see somebody jump in the pool, and I'm assuming what's happened is, because it's such a confined space, the vapor has got into the air and people haven't been able to breathe. And then it looks like the gas has just spewed out onto people.
It's very confusing. There's been so many different reports, because some people were saying that they wanted to jump in the pool to cool off. So I think that it'll be interesting in the next few days to see what comes from this investigation, and perhaps the influencer sharing more details online.
Well, there's a lot of people in intensive care, from my understanding. So hopefully there's no more deaths to follow, because that's just ridiculous.
And it's not, and this isn't the first time. I mean, just typing in dry ice and an influencer into YouTube, so many videos come up. So it seems to be a standard kind of prank, or not prank, but stunt that people are doing.
Well, I think the thing that is disturbing is we are seeing such an increase of these. I mean, in this case, it's not so much of a stunt, but it's an Instagrammable moment to attract attention. This week, there was another TikTok star who almost died. So his name is Jason Clark, and he was attempting to swim underneath a frozen lake. And he has put up the video since. So the video shows him going under the water, basically getting trapped. You can see his face look up in panic. And then from that moment on, he said that his eyes froze, so he couldn't see anymore. And he literally thought that was it. And somehow he managed to put his hand up into what was the hole that he entered from.
The craziest thing was that after coming out and saying he nearly died, he went and did it again.
But what obligation does TikTok have to censor this type of content? Because it's just persuading others to do the same thing to get attention.
I think it is so disturbing, because it seems like dangerous behavior just seems to get you noticed. Like, it just puts your view account or your follow account.
Well, back to your point, Kate, do you both think that TikTok does have an obligation to censor that kind of stuff? I mean, it's kind of hard.
I definitely do.
Well, it's hard when the platform is based on viral content, lots of different challenges. It's only going to promote people.
It's just so disturbing, because so many young people now hold all of their currency in being Insta famous. And if they're seeing people get likes for this sort of thing, they're just going to be encouraged to do it. Moving on to my favorite segment of the week, it is the peak and the pit of the social media week. And I'm going to start it off. My peak of the social media week has to be discovering Depop. Now, have you guys heard of this app?
I think, yeah, a lot of people have used Depop.
having a look at it, it's presented very much like Instagram. So people have followers on there. You can converse with people on there. And basically a lot of people are selling their secondhand clothes. And what has struck a chord with a lot of millennials and Gen Zers is the fact that it's sustainable. I mean, I feel like that's the most in fashion thing at the moment is sustainability and being individual. So it's very popular amongst younger people.
What's the difference between that and marketplace?
Well, personally, I'd feel more inclined to sell something on there because you've got the guarantee of people paying you through PayPal.
It's a bit more fancy. I mean, Depop's been around since 2011, so it's not too new, but it's more like, you know, if you want to sell vintage clothes, you can take beautiful photos and put them up. So it's a bit like Instagram where the photos are a lot more beautiful. It's not just like some crumpled shirt thrown on the ground, like on Facebook Marketplace.
Does the app take a cut of what you're earning? I'm assuming it's like eBay.
It does take a small percentage. But I mean, from someone who sold clothes on Marketplace recently and been absolutely ripped off by someone not sending money through, I feel like it's a much safer option. And the thing that I loved is you can just search like particular brands. For instance, I was looking up Beck and Bridge and then all these amazing dresses popped up. I feel it's a lot easier to navigate than Marketplace.
Well, I just did a quick Google and Depop takes 10% of the sale price and the shipping. So that's pretty high.
Do you have to put it on your tax as well as earnings? Because I know with Facebook Marketplace, you don't.
Well, I read an article that two girls in Australia, they have attracted 130,000 followers on Depop, and now they've basically made it their full-time job selling clothes. So it is an online store for some people.
That's a lot for them to be taking 10% out of.
Well, I think we should probably move on to the pit then. My pit has been Kylie Skanes' Valentine's YouTube video. And I mean, it was a pretty good video. I'd say in that respect, it was a bit of a peak. But the pit was when she gave her boyfriend his Valentine's Day present. And it was a $1,800 Gucci bag.
It made his bunch of roses look pretty cheap, I have to say.
It did. I was really shocked. I was like, oh my God, how much did those roses cost? Like, is that all he got? Not all he got her, because it would be nice enough.
They were insane bunch of roses. Like, they would have cost a fair bit, but not $1,800.
I think the worst bit was that they said that they had agreed not to buy gifts for each other.
You feel like a real asshole getting that if you hadn't got someone something equivalent.
I love the bit when he's like modeling the bag. Like, it was just such an old dad kind of way.
My earring's gone! Now, moving on to what's making news in our feed. Sophie, can you start us off?
Well, this was quite intriguing. So Hailey Bieber revealed in an interview recently that it was a party trick that rekindled her relationship with Justin Bieber. Now, do you guys want to take a guess of what this party trick was?
I didn't even know her relationship was. It had to be rekindled with
him. Yeah, aren't they married?
Yeah, well, they actually broke up before they got married. So this is what rekindled it.
What was it?
So not a current rekindling.
No.
What was it?
Can I guess?
What?
Making your underarm fart?
No, it was not. So she was on the Jimmy Fallon show and she opened a Corona bottle with her tooth. And it appears that Justin Bieber saw that segment when they were broken up and that sparked him to contact her. And he's like, yeah, you were looking really good on the Jimmy Fallon show. And wow, I never knew you could do that before. That's really impressive.
Is it just me or I don't even really care about Justin Bieber and Hailey Bieber?
Oh, they're pretty cute together.
I don't really find them cute. I don't really care. Like,
I was going to ask, are there any hidden tricks that you guys have that you've used to impress anyone?
I know Amy's is juggling.
Oh, yeah.
I'm very good at Tetris. I don't know if that would impress anyone.
I used to be able to blow water through my tooth, my gap in my tooth before it got sealed up. But
I can wiggle my left ear, but that's about it.
Well, the other thing that's been popping up in my newsfeed has been all about the Lizzie McGuire revival. Kate, can you tell us a little bit more?
Well, I thought they'd already started filming this, but it seems like it's just been halted because Disney is only allowing the Lizzie McGuire reboot to be a PG version. So that means that Lizzie is going to be 30 years old, but can be confined to a PG audience rating. And Hillary doesn't think that the show will be any good with this rating. So she's asking Hulu if they can take it on board and put it up to an M, which will, you know, suit the audience who are actually 30, not 17.
Yeah, well, two episodes have actually been shot already, but the network seemed to change its mind on putting future episodes into effect because there has been this kind of simmering tension between the Lizzie McGuire reboot, and they've actually got rid of the showrunner, Terry Minsky. She was removed from her position for, I suppose, siding with Hilary Duff over thinking that the series should investigate some more mature scenes.
But that's what you get if it's on the Disney Channel. That's a thing. That's why it obviously makes more sense to have it on a streaming streaming platform like Hulu, because Disney, it has, as you said, it has to be PG. And, you know,
it would just be lame. I feel like we need to get some, I don't know if Hilary Duff is starting a petition, but we need to have Lizzie McGuire back on Hulu.
Well, why would they say no? Like, it's caused great publicity for it.
Well, I love the fact that stars now have this platform where they can call to their fans to make a change. It's really exciting.
I wonder if the two episodes that have already been filmed will ever be aired. So the last one is a little bit sad that's popped up in my newsfeed a bit, and it seemed to be a bit of confusion around it. It was these baboons that had broken out of a Sydney hospital. Now, it was first thought that the male baboon was getting a vasectomy, which was actually true. And he He was actually there with his two wives, which was... I shouldn't laugh because they look so cute. Anyway, it reminded me so much of the Seinfeld episode where George sees a pig man and the pig man escapes from the hospital.
A half man, half pig in here right now.
That was the best episode. Yeah. Well, anyway, it's actually quite sad because it turns out these baboons are among some animals that are being tested, medically tested on in the hospital, which has raged debate. There was a protest at the hospital today and it kind of concerned me. I didn't know that went on.
Well, I saw a lot of articles that were pointing to the fact that these animals were in fact being tested on. But then I read that there was a vet who came out and confirmed that no, these aren't animals that are tested on. They're living in some colony.
No, well, they are bred in this colony and then they are shipped out to the hospital and they run some reproduction and kidney tests on them.
Why did the hospital lie?
Well, then this baboon was actually getting the vasectomy to then go back to the retreat and live out the rest of its life. It's 15 years old. So I don't know how long it's been in there.
But it seems pretty deceptive. They were trying to get out of the fact that they were used for animal testing.
Well, I was quite shocked. I think it was a figure of 256 baboons and then there were some other sort of chimps also tested on in Australia every year. And it's actually taxpayers' money. I know they must be testing for a reason, but it did shock me and sadden me because there were some gruesome things that they found out that they mentioned in the article that I won't mention now. But
the thing is, I think it is so sad, especially when you see, I suppose, the animal face of that testing. But without animal testing, we wouldn't have different vaccines. We'd have people dying. I mean, a lot of people are suggesting they should just test on pedophiles, which actually I thought was quite a good idea.
But at the same time, I think it's wrong of the hospital to try and confuse everyone and to try and hide the blame that they are actually testing on these animals.
I feel like horny.
Now, moving on to the most talked about maths moment ever. It involves a cheating scandal, a toothbrush, and a couple being forcefully removed from the show. Okay, I cannot get enough of maths. We have to admit that Sophie, for some absurd reason, hasn't been watching it, so she'll probably be absent during this chat.
Just letting the podcast down.
Okay, I'm going to catch up tonight. I'm going to watch a few episodes tonight because it is sounding quite sensational.
It would take you more than a night.
Push through the weddings.
I'll just skip a few of the first weddings and get right into the good stuff.
So for those who haven't been watching or haven't kept up, the scandal involves Hayley. So Hayley's husband, David, discovered that Hayley had been cheating on him with Michael. And now Michael's partnered up with Stacey, and Michael's from Adelaide and Stacey's also from
Adelaide. The ice man and the fake looking woman, if anyone's paying her.
I feel bad describing her that because she's obviously very intelligent. However, she hasn't been too intelligent when it comes to this cheating scandal. So what's happened is Hayley has come out and claimed that she's kissed Michael. Stacey's not sure whether to believe it all.
Well, Stacey was back in Adelaide looking after her kids and Michael has been partying. Well, he's known to be partying and he was out partying with Hayley and he admitted that he gave her a risque dance.
A lap dance.
But he denies the kiss.
Do you know what? I love it. He's like, oh, I was pissed off my face. I had no idea what was going on. And the experts were like, well, are you saying that you're not sure what happened? No.
He didn't deny it. He just said he doesn't remember it happening, which is the old, I know it happened, but I'm just going to play dumb because I was drunk. I mean, it all exploded at the dinner party, which of course, I mean, thank goodness, because there were so many people there.
Every week, those dinner parties just get more and more feral.
It's crazy. I was surprised that Natasha and Mikey could refuse to go because they didn't want to go because they knew there was going to be heaps of drama there. It's like, I thought they had to be there.
Well, they dished all the drama in Carl and Jackie O this morning, but that's another story.
Well, anyway, so this, I was getting so mad because Stacey was doing the typical girl thing, which was to blame Hayley and then not put any blame on Michael, which pissed me off so much.
Yeah, it frustrated me so much as well because Michael just comes across as the biggest idiot. And I know this sounds terrible, but I keep thinking, is it because he's loaded? Like, you know, it is. And then I did love Michelle. So Michelle's one of the sort of like the mum and dad couple of the series. And she was just giving it to Stacey, like, you should believe her. And you did feel like screaming some sense into her.
Well, I think the best part of this was the fact that David got exposed for doing an unthinkable crime to Haley's toothbrush. I'm not going to say poor Haley because I don't think she's a victim as per se.
Well, the thing is, I was feeling a little bit sorry for David when I heard that Haley had cheated. Then again, I still had in the back of my mind when he was talking about the weird sex they apparently had.
But then also that he went ape on her in Singapore and then completely backtracked. That annoyed me.
I was a bit unsure how I felt about David, but then as Kate said, he did the unthinkable. So what he's done, for those who haven't seen it, is he took Haley's toothbrush and decided to clean the toilet bowl with it. But he hasn't just done that. He's also filmed it and sent it stupidly to some of the other contestants.
And it was quite obvious that there was a mess in the toilet because they couldn't show the video, and instead they showed one of the experts dry reaching, which is bloody hilarious.
Now, what would you guys do if someone put your toothbrush in the toilet bowl?
Oh, and I used it?
Yeah.
Oh, I think I'd go nuts.
Aren't there all those horror stories that like people, real estate agents do that to people?
Or put them. I heard that story. I don't know if it was like a myth about those people that broke into someone's home and put their toilet brushes up their ass and then took a photo of it, and they only found out once they developed the film.
Well, I loved how Hayley waited for it. Like, it was probably 2 hours into this hellish dinner party, and all of a sudden she whips out the phone and she whips out the toothbrush. And
yeah, it was in her bra or something. Yeah,
didn't she throw it at him? And
she threw it across the room. The funniest bit was that that I keep laughing about is that Michelle's like, well, it's just, you know, it's lucky that you didn't use it. It's just very lucky. And she goes, but I did. We all know I did. It was so funny, and the veins like bulging in her head.
Well, Kyle and Jackie O show hit an all-time low or high, depending on the way you looked at it. And they actually somehow managed to get the toothbrush off Haley. And Kyle offered to pay one of the workers there $1,000 if he cleaned his teeth with the toothbrush.
How are we meant to know it was the same one?
Well, the way that this guy and Jackie was reacting, it seemed pretty legitimate.
Another funny part of the show that I thought was important to discuss was Connie and Johnny's text exchange.
Now, the thumbs up.
Yeah, so Johnny went out and he was meant to be back, and I think she was making him dinner. No, they were meant to be going bowling.
Because Connie really likes bowling, according to her sister.
Yeah, she really likes bowling. Anyway, so instead, like, it seems like all the math husbands
like
do.
Sounds like it's a euphemism.
It's not, she actually does.
Yeah, I was thinking, what are you guys talking about? Is that something
no,
rude?
No, her sister just made a joke. Anyway, and as all the maths husbands do, and it proves why they're single, they all go get pissed with their mates instead of coming back and seeing their wives. And she obviously was pissed off. So she, I think he said, is it okay if I stay back here with my friends?
No, he said, I'm gonna have to postpone bowling. Is it all right if I stay, or something like that?
And she sent a sarcastic thumbs up. Now, any girl knows, you know, if you're not over 50 and you're using the thumbs up, then it's being sarcastic.
That's all Dad sends me. Like, I'll message him and he'll just send me a thumbs up.
Yeah, no, I think Mum does it too. And I don't know. I mean, she's probably listening right now, but I don't know if she realizes that it sometimes comes across as rude. I know she's not meaning it to be rude.
Do you know what? I feel like if it's on Facebook Messenger, it might not be rude, but definitely on text message, if you're sending any single emoji other than maybe like a kiss face or a smiley face, it's rude.
It's the modern day K. You know, when you're back in the day when you used to put K and you couldn't even be bothered
to write
K. Did
you ever actually do that? I never did that.
Yeah, I've done it.
Do you know what I loved? I loved how, because after they've had this fight, Connie and Jonathan, of course the producers have made it that it's the week that their family come and visit.
Yeah.
So I love Connie's mum and sister all backing her, and then Jonathan's mum was like, he would have legitimately thought that a thumbs up meant go ahead.
Bullshit.
Why didn't he ring?
Well, the other family dinner I enjoyed watching was, I can't remember their names. It was the couple that were the woman in the bikini in the spa on the honeymoon.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, the guy's mum and auntie were there, and the auntie's legitimate first question was, "See, can we ask, have you bonked? Like, firstly, who uses the word bonked? And secondly, what the hell would you want to know?" But things got worse because the guy, instead of backing his wife, they agreed not to talk about the argument that they'd had over her being jealous. Instead, he squealed like a pig and then got his mummy to back him up the whole time. It was just pathetic.
Well, from what I've heard, the producers really prod the family to ask about that sex question. Because, you know, when Ivan and I've forgotten his name, whatever the partner of Ivan is, the ones the only couple that seemed to be working, Ivan's mum was apparently told to keep pushing, and she never, according to Ivan, asked questions like that.
The only couple that's working are the ones that aren't having sex.
Do you know what I love? That Ivan was painted to be such an idiot and such an awful person, and he's probably the nicest one on there.
Yeah, well, one that was meant to be really nice is Mikey, and it seems like ever since he's got off the show, he was being portrayed very nicely because he seems like a complete twat. He went on the Kyle and Jackie O show today, and there he himself is embroiled in his own sort of love triangle because it's rumored that he hooked up with Stacey. And then he's actually accused of starting it, or Stacey is, that Natasha hooked up with Mikey's dad.
Oh my gosh, I hadn't, because I would listen to that interview, I had no idea that that was a rumor going around. I mean, what kind of person starts a rumor like that?
Well, there was also a rumor about Natasha that she was a high-end escort, which kind of made more sense because she was talking about dating older men. I'm not saying it's
true. She's denied that.
Yeah. It seems like things are getting very messy, even messier than normal. Like, it just shows that they only hired trash to be on the show.
No, you know what? I think it's fair to call the people trash.
Sophie, you haven't watched it. They are trash.
I'm just saying, I think it's a real... It's a real worry, though, because after seeing a couple of them on the Kyle and Jackie O show being interviewed, it's obvious that they were quite distressed after appearing on the show, that their mental health has taken a battering.
I feel sorry for Natasha. She seemed like she was just distraught and had had enough. And I suppose it's hard for them because they know everything that's gone down, and they keep referencing the MAFS,
the reunion.
Oh my god, it sounds sensational. So if you've got to be up to date for when that hits,
I don't know how it could beat the last one when Martha poured wine on Sorrel's head. Like, I just don't know.
But I feel like what's gonna happen next? Was someone gonna murder somebody at these dinner parties?
Oh god,
like,
I hope not.
I'll put it out there now. I'm vowing to try and catch up by next week so I can add something to these conversations.
Well, one thing talking about the MAFS brides after the show I found interesting is Markson, you know, that famous
Max Markson,
sorry. He's actually signing up all the, you know, popular or, you know, contentious MAFS brides, and it's reported that they can earn anywhere between $5,000 and $9,000 a week for sponsored posts being on MAFS.
Oh my god, Hayley's so gonna get a toothbrush ad.
Yeah, well, that's totaling a yearly salary of $300,000. And it's no surprise because I also saw another article saying Hayley had left her high-paying job in finance and she was apparently earning $150,000. And then in between MAFS...
She's working as a lollipop lady, I think.
Yeah, she's on a construction site. But I also read that they only get paid $150 a day to be on the show.
I'm not surprised. I was going to say, what did you think of Sunday night's episode where Hayley decided to stay, but David decided to leave, and the experts basically said you both have to go because this is ridiculous?
I got to admit, I haven't seen Sunday night's episode.
But
I don't like watching the commitment ceremony. Okay, it goes for so long.
Well, so for those who also haven't seen it, what happens is David's giving it all that. He's like, I am so excited to leave this absolutely foul woman and all of this stuff. And so he reveals that he's chosen to leave. And then she's like, well, I've been trying to think how to get you back for that toothbrush, so I've decided to stay. And then they're like... And then Michelle starts screaming at her, like, you're just leave, honey. No. And then Stacey's like, nobody likes you, just leave. And then the expert's like, this is just not what this experiment's apparently meant to be about.
Like, we've gone too far.
They would have rubbed their bloody hands together with that toothbrush incident.
I know. I was kind of excited when Hayley said she was going to stay, but...
I'm really surprised the producers didn't let her. They probably knew there'd be too much backlash.
Why didn't they kick Jess out when she was trying to hook up with that guy?
I think maybe because of the toothbrush incident, I think they were worried what might go on. But I think that's probably all we've got time for tonight. I know,
Sophie's got to go and watch MAFS now.
Yeah. So thank you for everyone that got through the show. We hope you did enjoy. If you did, please share our podcast on your Instagram feeds to let others know about it. And
if you can also subscribe as well, because that really helps out the channel. And if you can... leave a positive ranking
review.
Yeah, we'd love to hear what you guys like about the podcast as well. Thanks again for listening, and you'll hear from us again on Thursday, hopefully.